Send My Condolences to Good by Chash, read by Night Tracer. Fandom Tortal, the Immortal series. Summary. Dane is making friends over the summer. Numair may or may not be going to hell.
"You look like you're having the time of your life," Dane remarked to Numair.
Numair scowls at her reflexively, which puts her in an even better mood.
"It's 8 in the morning and there is a bus full of very noisy children on its way to us," he says, handing her a coffee. "I don't see how you're so cheerful."
"The sun is shining and I like kids," Dane says. "And you got me coffee."
"Yours is a happy nature." He yawns loudly. "Lana is fine, by the way. She says hello."
Dane nods, frowning a little. "Glad to hear. What happened, if you don't mind me asking?"
"It's a long story," he says. "I only just learned all the details of it myself. I know she had a rocky history with her father, but it came to an explosive head," and he makes a face. "I don't know how to explain this without taking too long and sounding too ridiculous. Her father disowned her."
Dane stares. "I didn't know that still happened.
Does that still happen?" "The very rich are different from you and me," says Numair. "A misquotation, but apropos."
"Is she very rich? Or was she, I suppose?"
"You haven't heard of the Trebond Corporation?"
"Oh, is that her? I don't know much about it, but I know the name. I hadn't made the connection."
"It's her father, yes. She is no longer associated with them, from what I understand."
Dane narrows her eyes at him.
"From what you understand? You're awful laid back about this," she shouts, her accent coming out stronger as she loses her temper like it always does.
"You should be helping her out more. What are you doing here when she's having trouble? And you not even knowing what they are?"
Numair blinks and actually takes a step back. "I told her I'd help whoever I could," he offers confused. "There's only so much I can do. It's her, but
she's your girlfriend. That makes it your business too."
There's a long pause. "No," he finally says. "She's not my girlfriend."
Dane stops short and looks at him. She feels herself flushing.
"She's not?" "No."
"But you brought her cat in. She said her cat lived with her boyfriend, being as she lives in the dorms."
"Yes," he says slowly. "The cat does live with her boyfriend. His name is George. He works nights, so the appointment was a little early for him. She asked if I would be willing to do it. We've been friends for several years."
"Oh," says Dane, deflating. "Well, that different, then."
"Were Alana my girlfriend, I would probably be better informed than this," Numair says. "As she is not, I'm not kept as up to date on what's happening."
"Oh," says Dane again. She's spared from any further response by the arrival of the bus, and she shifts her focus from Numair to the children. "Good morning, campers," she says. "I'm Dane, and this is my friend Numair. I am studying zoology, and he's studying botany. Can anyone tell me what zoology is?"
One of the girls shouts, "Animals!"
"That's right, study of animals. And botany?"
"Plants!"
"You're good," says Dane. "Now, we're going to take you around the woods and see what plants and animals we can find. Is everybody ready?" "Is everyone ready?" The kids cheer. Dane glances back at Numair and offers him a sheepish smile.
"Ready, Numair?"
Numair smiles back.
"Ready."
Dane yawns and stretches, cracking her neck.
"I'm starved," she tells Numair, rubbing her face.
"What are you doing now?" Numair yawns himself. He should stop going out with Alana on Sunday nights.
"Nothing in particular. I have some papers to review, but it's not pressing."
"Do you want to get dinner, then?" Numair wonders if there's a way to discreetly excuse himself and text Alana to check if going out to dinner with a 17-year-old girl he's attracted to is really kosher. Having thought more on their previous interactions, and having seen Dane interact more with other people, he came to the conclusion that she has not ever purposefully flirted with him, and he's probably reading into things. So this is a platonic invitation to dinner, and he should accept or decline it on those terms.
"Numair?" Dane asks, frowning. He should also probably not lapse into long periods of silent contemplation so often.
"Dinner," he says, smiling. "Yes, let's do dinner." They go to some vegetarian diner Dane likes that he's never been to. Hotess greets her by name and gives Numera a look that makes him suspect he'll be strung up if he sets even a foot out of line. I used to work here in high school, Dane explains, apparently oblivious to the implied threat on Numera's life. Una, she's the owner, kind of took me in after Ma died. She was in foster care herself, so she hires a lot of us. She says it breezily, almost aggressively casual, like she's daring Numera to comment. He'd like to, honestly. He doesn't know much about Dane. He only found out how old she was when she told him why she hadn't applied to be a full-time counsellor for the camp they're working with. Oh, you have to be 18. Her past life is a mystery. I'm sorry to hear that, he says and rethinks it immediately. About your mother, obviously. I'm glad someone was there to help. There's a pause and then Dane laughs. You know, you're fair strange. Am I? Half the time you act like just another dumb college student. The other half you're so buttoned up I think you'll pop. You can relax, you know. I'm not going to bite your head off. You bit my head off this morning, Numera says, trying out a teasing tone. She might not have all the details, but she is right. He's nervous around her and it's stupid. They're friends. For mistreating a woman, I wasn't dating. Dane laughs and kicks him lightly under the table. I said I was sorry. You didn't, in fact, Numera says, smiling. But it was implied. Well, I'm sorry. There's a pause, and she bursts out with, But what was I supposed to think? You brought her cat in. Her cat, she said, lived with her boyfriend. It was a reasonable assumption. I probably would have thought the same. He smiles at her, but I'll try to be more relaxed around you, now that that's been cleared up. And I'll try not to bite your head off, so long as you treat your real girlfriend right. I have no real girlfriend to mistreat, says Numera, so it shouldn't be a problem. Oh, says Dane, and he does not allow himself to read into her tone. He just changes the subject to other things. Alana would be proud. Once she stopped laughing at him. Numera texts Dane the next Monday morning, saying he's running late and asking if she'll pick up the coffee. Maud's, his favourite coffee shop, is on her way, and she's surprised to see Alana behind the counter, hiding a yawn in her arm. Morning, she says. No wonder Numera always comes here.
Morning.
Alana threw another yawn. She blushes. Sorry, I'm not usually on this shift. I'm not used to being awake this early. It's fine, says Dane, smiling. Is everything okay? I know you've had a lot going on. Yeah, it's better now. Thank you for asking. She manages a bright smile. What can I get you? Whatever Numera usually gets, and a caramel latte for me, both large. Another nature walk today? Yeah, Dane grins. It's fair funny to see Numera on them. He's terrified of children. Alana snickers. I had no idea. Maybe not terrified. He just doesn't know what to do with them. They love him. They all want him to tell them about plants and their families and their favourite dinosaurs. And he doesn't know what to do. How's Faithful? He's doing well. He's still trying to get out of the apartment. We're talking about if we should let him. I don't know, Dane says, clicking her tongue. It's a lot safer to keep them inside, and he's young. But I don't know how long Faithful was living outside before you found him. He'll probably have trouble getting used to it. Where does your boyfriend live? How's the traffic? They chat about the pros and cons of outdoor cats until Dane's alarm goes off. She waves to Alana and runs over to the park, shoving Numera's coffee at him and barely getting herself in order before the campers arrive. Thanks, Numera says mildly. Maybe I should have gone after all. Apparently I wasn't running so late. Dane bumps his shoulder and he bumps back. It makes her feel all lit up inside, being so friendly with him. She liked having him as her TA. He was smart and engaging, much better than the professor. But it's even better feeling like they're equals. The first of the bus is Kedar, Dane's favourite of the counsellors, and he grins and waves. Numera scowls, but Dane assumes there's the stream of kids following behind him. She elbows him. You'll be fine, you big baby, she tells him. They like you. Hmm? Says Numera. Kids like you. I don't know why you even signed up for this. You always look like you're going to get killed. I like kids, he says petulantly. Before she can respond, he launches into the welcome speech, and they divide the campers up, assigning half of them to a scavenger hunt for plants and half to hers for animals. She ends up falling into step with Kedar, when Numera gets dragged off by a tiny blonde girl who wants to show him every plant in the forest. It's adorable. You're going to be a sophomore next year? Kedar asks. Yeah, says Dane, taking her focus off Numera and his new friend with an effort. Why?
I'm going to be a freshman, but I don't think I'll be able to get used to thinking of you as a wise elder, he teases. Dane laughs and elbows him. Watch out. I've already hired on to work for biology department next semester. You should be careful what you say to me.
I'll be sure to keep that in mind.
He clears his throat.
Actually, I was hoping.
Hey, Dane! One of the campers, Neil, runs over the frog. Cal fasts on his heels.
Check it out! Look what I caught!
Cal kicks him in the ankle. You did not! I caught it! You just said you wanted to hold it! She looks to Dane and sobers, face going straight. She starts to bow and then stops, straightening awkwardly. I'm sorry for interrupting.
This is why you should never trust your elders, says Neil, apparently feeling no such contrition.
What kind is it? They're not on our list. You shouldn't really catch them, Cal. Dane chides gently. It's hard to be upset with her. She's only 10. Neil's 12 and should know better. Just think how you'd feel if someone picked you up and took you away from home.
I remember where I got him, Cal says. I put down a stone so I can bring him back exactly where he came from. But I wanted to know what kind he was, and he'd hop away if I brought you to him.
Dane smiles and leans down to inspect the frog, which is a pickerel. By the time she's done, Numera talking to Kadar. And when they're done, neither of them quite meet her eyes the rest of the day.
That's like a 7, John decides.
I'd say 9, said Alana.
How old is she again? Asks Raoul.
17, says Numer miserably. Her birthday is next month.
And how old is he?
18.
So you suspected an 18-year-old boy was trying to ask out the underage girl you have a crush on, so you decided to go over there and scare him off? Asks Raoul.
Just so I have this straight.
It sounds even worse when you say it straight out, Alana remarks. She's enjoying this far too much.
I'm going to hell, right?
Yeah, that's at least a 9.
That might be a 10.
I said 0 was newborn puppies and 10 was war crimes, says Numer.
It's not a war crime.
George comes back from serving a group of girls at the other end of the bar.
No, but if you're not asking her out, you shouldn't stop anyone else doing it either. That's not fair and it's kind of creepy.
And George is our resident expert on creepy stalking, Alana says, grinning.
It's not stalking, Numer protests. It's just creepy. Oh God, he groans. I'm definitely going to hell. What do I do now? Do I apologize to him?
What exactly did you say? Alana asks.
It was like I was in a bad gangster movie, Numer moans. I told him how important our Dane was to everyone at the university, and how upset we'd be if anyone were to hurt her, and... He rubs his face. I have no idea what came over me.
You seem genuinely remorseful, says Raoul. I'll downgrade you to an 8. I think you should be very nice to him for the rest of the trip and not interfere with them at all.
No, don't be very nice to him, John says. That'll just make him suspicious. He'll think you're planning something. It's the oldest trick in the book.
You are playing from a very different book than I am, says Raoul.
Come on. Someone gives you a talking to and then they're really overly friendly. They're obviously plotting something. I'd be plotting something. None of this is helping,
Numer says gloomily. He thunks his head down onto the bar. He's not sure he's ever had a visit to the Dancing Dove that didn't end with him face down in despair.
Are you sure you're 25? Alana asks, because you're acting like you're 15, which means it wouldn't actually be creepy if you hit on her.
Numer flips her off without lifting his head up.
Dane discovers the Dancing Dove by accident. She's on her way home from work on Thursday and out of nowhere it just starts to pour. She's half soaked when she sees the open sign and slips in, checking out her hair and sleeves as she makes her way to the bar. There's a red-headed boy chatting with the lanky bartender, but they stop when the bartender spots her and whistles.
Must really be coming down out there, he remarks. You look half drowned.
The redhead turns and Dane squints.
Lana?
Alana smiles sheepishly. Hello, Dane. Her voice is a little deeper than usual. She glances back at the bartender.
George, this is Dane. She works at our vet's office. Dane, this is my boyfriend George Cooper. Just ignore his flirting. He does it to everyone.
You can't tell her that, darling, he chides easily. Then she'll think she's not special.
Alana snorts. Well, we can't have that. Just remember, she's 17.
Dane doesn't remember ever telling Lana that, but she lets it go. Do you have something warm on your menu? She asks George. Soup, maybe?
Between her wet clothes and the AC in the bar, she's starting to shiver.
There's chili, he says, giving her a smile. Beef or vegetarian?
Dane, why don't you order something and come upstairs with me? Alana suggests. George's apartment is up there, and you can say hi to Faithful, and I'll find you some clothes you can borrow. And by the time we get back down, your food will be ready.
You don't mind? Dane asks. I don't want to put you out.
I don't mind, says Alana. Come on. Dane orders the beef chili and follows Alana upstairs. She walks a little differently, wearing the boys' clothes, and even seems like a little bit of a different person.
Why are you...
Dane blurts out and then hushes. It's not really her business.
Dressed up like a boy, Alana supplies.
If you don't mind me asking.
It's part of why I had that trouble the other week,
Alana says, unlocking the door. Faithful immediately runs over to greet them, scolding Alana for leaving. She picks him up and kisses his head.
Hush, Ladybuck, she tells him. Not everything's about you. You can have a seat if you'd like, she asks to Dane.
I'll just go get you a towel and see what clothes I can dig up.
Thanks, says Dane,
having a seat at the kitchen table. Faithful jumps up to sit on her lap.
I used to pretend to be a boy when I went out to bars with my best friend, Alana says, tossing her a towel, and then heading to the bathroom. His father's a famous liberal, and my father's a famous conservative, so my father didn't want me spending time with him. I used to dress up like my twin brother when I was little, so it seemed like a reasonable solution. My father found out a few weeks ago and was upset about the whole thing. Is the dress okay? I think it'll fit better.
That's fine. There's a pause and she prompts, so your dad found out?
Yeah. That means I don't really have to dress up anymore since he disowned me and everything, but
she shrugs, coming back in with a light blue dress for Dane.
I don't know. It's kind of fun. I don't get hit on as much and it's nice to be a different person sometimes.
Your boyfriend doesn't mind?
No.
She smiles at Dane's expression.
I was surprised too. He liked me when he thought I was a boy and he likes me now that I'm a girl. But he still thinks I make a cute boy.
Oh.
Go dry off and get warm, Alana instructs her.
Should I call you something different when I dress like that?
George calls me Alan, but you don't have to. I'm fine either way.
Dane considers it in the bathroom. She's not an expert on this stuff, gender and sexuality and all that. She's not ignorant. She met a lot of LGBT kids in foster care after Ma died. But Alana doesn't seem like the trans kids she knew. She just seems to like dressing up like a boy sometimes. And what did that matter, really? Alana's great. If she doesn't want a label for what she's doing, Dane shouldn't need one either. The dress is a little short and a little loose, but it's a huge improvement. She dries her hair a little more and checks it in the mirror, and then heads back out to Alana with her own clothes in a damp pile.
We'll throw those in the dryer, Alana says. By the time you've eaten, they should be done.
Thanks again. I think I might have frozen down there.
I'm just glad you came into the Dove so we could help.
Dane smiles.
Me too. New Mare nearly has a heart attack when George greets him with,
Your underage girlfriend is here. Please stop calling her that. He says, knowing it will be useless. We just want to make sure you remember she's underage, George says brightly. She's upstairs with Alan. Got stuck in the rain. Looks like you did too, he adds, looking New Mare up and down. You want to borrow something of mine?
I'm not nearly as wet as I look, says New Mare. I wasn't out for long. He glances around. She's really here?
That's a bad thing. I'm trying to spend less time with her.
The door from the back opens and Lana comes down, dressed as Alan, with Dane in a pale blue dress that shows off much more of her legs than he's previously seen. New Mare is going to hell.
New Mare, she says, lighting up. Then she laughs. You're soaked.
It's not really as bad as it looks, he says. Hello, Dane. I didn't know you were a customer here.
I wasn't, but if the chili is good, I might come back.
George grins. Now that sounds like a challenge, he says. Hope we don't disappoint. He winks at her and Dane flushes.
New Mare glares at George over the girl's head, which is about as effective as glaring at the bar. George just doesn't care. Alana sighs, shaking her head.
What did I ever do to deserve such an incorrigible flirt?
Must have been real good in your last life, George tells her.
Dane giggles. It's really not fair. George gets to flirt with her and he can't. George is older than he is.
If you're quite done, says New Mare, I'd like to order myself.
Of course, darling, says George. My apologies for neglecting you so long. What can I do for you tonight?
Right. That's why George gets away with it. He's George.
How's the chili, Dane? Worth coming back for?
I think it might be, yeah.
She glances over at New Mare, You come here a lot?
Once or twice a week. It allows me to pretend I have a social life. I'll have chili too, George, and a beer. Coming right up.
Might be nice to have a place to go out to, Dame muses, if you're here.
Nymer is either supremely blessed or supremely cursed, but there's really only one response to that.
You're welcome any time.
Alana's here most nights, and I'd be happy to tell you when I'm coming.
Alana gives him a look somewhere between amused and exasperated, which is honestly about how he feels about the entire thing.
That would be great, says Dane. If you don't mind having a kid hanging around, she adds, blushing a little. That's just unfair.
Just don't try to give me any fake IDs, George says, and we'll do all right.
Dane still seems to want reassurances from Nymer, unfortunately, and he gives her a smile and ruffles her wet hair.
Of course not. We'd love to have you.
She beams at him, and Nymer smiles back helplessly. Straight to hell. On Monday, he takes Kadara aside and apologises.
I got carried away last week, he says. I tend toward overprotective, and since she's young,
manages a genuinely apologetic smile.
It was inappropriate of me to speak to you about it.
Thanks, says Kadar, still looking a little confused about the whole thing.
I was surprised. Ymir shrugs. As I said, I tend toward being overprotective, but it was wrong of me and I'm sorry.
I appreciate the apology. He glances over at Dane.
I was going to ask her out, he admits.
Nymer grits his teeth, but manages a smile.
Then you should.
He's probably still going to hell, but he feels like a slightly better person.
It doesn't help much.
The end. Thank you for listening.